Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I am so excited to interview Dr. Sean Dowdy. Now, who is he? Well, he is professor and chair of the Division of Gynecologic Oncology and a fellowship-trained gynecologic oncologist specializing in ovarian, uterine, and cervical cancer and complex benign gynecologic surgery. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, sir. And then his bio just goes so much further. He's wonderful. He's trained. He is smart, brilliant doctor, and I am so grateful to have him on tonight to talk about Mayo Clinic and the successes that we have been hearing about. Welcome, sir. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us. Okay, so we know that we're hearing that Mayo Clinic, of course, has always, it seems, been the best in Rochester, right? We had kings and queens come far and beyond just to be at Mayo Clinic. Yet there are 11 hospitals across Mayo Clinic that receive star ratings from the CMS for overall hospital quality. That in itself is remarkable. When you guys heard about these statistics, were you surprised at all?
Well, this is really the culmination of a great deal of work we've done for many years. So, we're always holding our breath a little bit when these rankings come out, but not that surprised, just given the amount of work we put into this and just the dedication of the staff.
Yeah, we're talking about five stars for you guys, and we're talking about, you know, other hospitals that are good hospitals, no doubt, but they've earned, you know, less than that, maybe 3-4 stars and that sort of thing. So I'm sure many people are talking about it. As you hear it and you look at your career at Mayo Clinic, what do you believe has really kept or helped buoy Mayo Clinic up as it keeps moving forward and giving so much more information and finding new ways for cures and et cetera? What would you say is one of the main things that made this happen?
Well, of course, there's many things that influence that, but I think the driving force behind the CMS stars rating that you're talking about, as well as the U.S. News ranking, is really it's really our primary value that was established over 150 years ago by the Mayo brothers, and that primary value is that the needs of the patient comes first. So we strive not to just become, you know, number one in U.S. News and World Report, but to be a category of one in healthcare. So I see our top hospital ranking as a byproduct of our culture and the hard work we do every day to provide patients the care that they expect and they deserve, rather than an end unto itself.
One thing that I noticed when we were taking our mother to Mayo Clinic for a mini test, and every doctor showed empathy and care for her, tender care for our mother. And we, you know, some of us were in tears. We talked about it. We were like, my goodness, what is it about Mayo Clinic that is so different from the other clinics? Is there training to help doctors know how to have that empathy and to really care, or are you just hiring doctors that know it already?
Well, I'm glad to hear that you had that experience. But, yeah, I think we do hire the right people. That's one of the reasons that we perform as well as we do. But a lot of it does come back to the culture. I mean, you lead by example. You follow others around you. And so I think, like I said before, a lot of this just comes down to the culture of Mayo Clinic and everybody that we work with around each other.
I remember many years ago, I worked for Group Health, that is now Health Partners, and I remember, you know, hearing about different doctors and different hospitals, and, you know, people would talk about it and go, oh, yeah, that hospital's no good. I never hear that about Mayo Clinic, ever. And I'm just wondering, what is that star moment? Is it that the patients have been trained to know when you go there, you know, allow the doctors to really tell you their truth, tell you exactly what you need to do and listen? I don't know if it's a something that you put together with both sides, the doctors as well as the patients, because it is just remarkable. If anything happened to me, that's where I want to be, is at a Mayo Clinic to service me, honestly. So If there is, as the future moves forward, and we know that Mayo Clinic is absolutely remarkable today around the world, then what happens? Are there other hospitals now that are training to try to learn exactly what it is within those ingredients at Mayo Clinic that works for them, and maybe it'll work for these other hospitals as well?
Well, I hope so. And to be clear, you know, Mayo Clinic is not the only hospital in the country that provides excellent care, but I do think that you've hit on one of our biggest differentiators, and that's patient experience. And, you know, if you look at the top, let's say, 30 hospitals in the U.S. News & World Report ranking, there are only three hospitals that are in the top 10 percentile as far as patient experience. And it's no coincidence that those three hospitals are Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Mayo Clinic in Scottsdale, Arizona, and Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, Florida. So just as you said, you know, caring for patients has always been more than just about diagnosis and treatment. It's about the human touch that you described, about providing hope and empathy and compassion, and also trying to do everything that we can do to provide equitable care in a country with a lot of disparities. So those are all the many challenges that we face in providing the care that our patients deserve.
So when we talk about the star ratings measure, how they're measured, it's five broad categories: mortality, safety and care, as you just mentioned, readmission. I'm curious about that. Can you tell us more?
Yeah, it's actually a fairly complicated system that looks at both quality and safety and some elements of experience as well. There's, I believe, five domains and many parts to each of those domains, so it's a lot to keep track of from a data standpoint. But we measure, monitor, improve all those metrics within the CMS star ratings, as well as something called LeapFrog, which is centered on patient safety, and then HCAHPS, which is centered on patient experience. So if we look at all those things, then we have a nice multidimensional perspective of all the different parts of care that we provide to patients.
You know, patients come in, including myself, we come into a doctor or hospital, and we really have great expectations. And so sometimes people will give it a bad rating if they take an essay or I'm sorry, not an essay, but if they have to write something about the doctor or choose what they thought about that doctor and the care that they were getting. It's amazing how people will just change and say, well, I didn't get all of that. I didn't get everything I thought I was going to get, so I'm going to mark it as poor. And what we find out later on is that, no, it wasn't that you were, you had bad service. You were not clear on what it was that you were getting. And maybe we're not asking the best questions to make sure that we understand what the doctor is doing for our health. If that is true, then how do we start to have a conversation to know what to ask?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think we need to have better dialogue with the patient even before the appointment. So that's one thing that we do make a great effort at, is to, like, for instance, when I see my patients, my nurse will oftentimes call the patient before the appointment to make sure we understand why they're coming to see me, what the expectations are, what challenges they're facing, to make sure that the records are all in order so that they don't show up and we'd waste their time because I can't make a decision without records. So I think that's really important that we have a dialogue with our patients so that we understand each other. That communication is extremely important.
Another thing in my history, I found when one of the hospitals I would go to often, anytime I got sick, I felt very comfortable there. All of a sudden, they started building more and more hospitals, and the service became less. I didn't receive the type of service and care initially when I was going to that one hospital, and then all of a sudden, I was sent to other ones just like it, supposedly, but it wasn't like it. And that has to be a challenge as well, even for Mayo, correct?
Absolutely it is, and that's one of the things that we're very careful about, is we want to make sure that all of our patients get the same excellent care regardless of which door they walk through, whether it's in Rochester or Scottsdale or Jacksonville or Mankato or La Crosse. We want to make sure that they have the same excellent care, the same human touch, and that we are making the same decisions and treating them the same way in all the different hospitals throughout the Mayo Clinic health system, not just in Rochester. So a lot of people know about Mayo Clinic in Rochester. I think there's probably less is known about the other Mayo hospitals, but we don't look at those hospitals as acquisitions. We really look at that as the same enterprise, the same health system, where we're providing the same care to all of our patients.
So no one is considering at Mayo Clinic. Did we overdo it? Did we, you know, build too many offices for Mayo Clinic? Everyone's in lockstep saying, yep, this is the right way to go.
Absolutely. And we've set up a lot of processes and structures to make sure that we share information between hospitals. You know, it's not just Rochester that's doing things well. We learn things from other hospitals as well. And so, you know, I talked about that dialogue with the patient to make sure we're communicating. We also have a dialogue between the different hospitals, between the leaders and the physicians, to make sure that we're learning from each other as well.
Are you also, as a doctor and all the other doctors at the Mayo Clinics, do they also have to fill out a document and people have to say, hey, I agree with this doctor, I don't like this doctor? So they are actually deciding if you are worthy of being at Mayo Clinic. Does that happen?
Yeah, well, that's one of the things that's reviewed at our annual reviews. So all the physicians have a meeting with their department chair, and that's one of the metrics that is looked at is patient experience. And that, in my mind, that's one of the more important things, actually. So we're actually absolutely held accountable for that.
I am so grateful that you joined me tonight. I couldn't wait to hear how this all happened and to be so proud, you know, here in Minnesota and beyond, that Mayo Clinic is this successful, and so are you. So thank you so much for joining us tonight. If people want more information about how we got to these numbers, is there an essay that we can pick up online, or is there something, a document that we can all look at closer to really understand these metrics?
That's a little bit complicated. Some of these metrics are quite complex. I don't have a document that you can refer to. Some of the methods are in PDF form if you look up CMS Stars or U.S. News and World Report. But we can certainly get something to you if you have interest in that.
Well, thank you again, sir. It was a pleasure having you on.
You too. Thank you.
All right. That is Dr. Sean Dowdy. And of course, he is professor and chair of the Division of Gynecologic Oncology and a fellowship trained gynecologic oncologist specializing in ovarian, uterine, and cervical cancer and complex benign gynecologic surgery. Remarkable. There's so much I don't know. It's amazing when you are in the presence of people who know so much, especially about the body. I have my oldest granddaughter is so curious about how do you fix this? Why does the body do this? What is, and I buy her books as often as possible to help her start to learn at the age of 9 what it all means. And to know that these doctors have it, really quite remarkable.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.